I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up. And there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order, plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Well, Happy New Year,
Happy
Kate.
Happy New Year, Leisha. New Year. I have a new age.
You have a new age.
I do. I have a new
you
age.
You are a new age.
I am a new age.
But you're not new age.
Absolutely
you know what I mean.
Not.
Right. Minus the astrology.
Correct.
Okay, we're not going to talk about what we did over the holidays.
No, we're going to save that.
We have a very special guest today, but we will talk about what we did over the holidays next week.
We'll do it. But today, we have Arlen Hamilton.
We do, and we're very excited to
friend
talk
to you.
Friend
of the pod.
Hey!
An inspiration.
Yeah.
You want to pick your brain?
A new friend, too, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, we've been hanging lately.
New. Well, for you, it's new. For me, it's been 15 years, probably. 20 years.
I always forget that you watch the show.
Of course, I watch the show.
Oh, can I give out a piece of trivia?
Yes.
Back in the day, we're dating ourselves here when I say this, but back in the day, if anyone remembers t-shirts that said Shane is my home...
There were two kinds. Shane is my homegirl and Shane is my homo girl.
Got it. Okay, if anyone remembers those, they were black and white. They look like sort of copy machines, sort of black and white.
Xerox.
Yeah.
Arlen created those. She's the originator.
Well, yeah. It's
that was popular.
It was.
Yeah, there was so much. So I had a blog called Your Daily Lesbian Moment back in the day. And I blogged about the L word every week. And I had a top 10 list. And a lot of people looked at it to the point where if I didn't put it up by a certain time, I would get like crazy mail. And this was like MySpace days. Oh. So I would do this top 10 list. I thought it was really clever. It was a lot of fun.
Like what kind of things were on it?
Oh, I'm trying to flash back to it. like top 10 like things that happened. I mean, I could probably pull it up.
That
but,
drive me crazy.
Well, there were some. Of course, there was like these pieces like for instance, it wasn't driving me crazy at all, but it was like these things that I point out. Like for instance, there was an episode where Bette learned all of sign language in a day in order to get laid, and I pointed that out. And there were certain. The kind of recurring thing was like,
you gotta love it. I mean, you know,
dude, you gotta love the time warp element of the show.
And then there was a degree to like Kate your hair or Shane's hair.
Yep.
Depending on the style of hair, there'd be like a level of
insanity.
Like how many people you had slept with that week or what cool thing had happened, you know.
Okay.
It was that level.
Oh, I was going to be a lot more rude regarding my hair, but you were being nice about it.
But I think it was like, no matter what was going on, your hair was fabulous, and it was just so funny to
Arlen,
me.
You're being very generous with
that. Did anyone ever see Delicious?
What's happening?
The what?
My mom bought it. I was like, what is that shirt?
What's Delicious?
I guess it didn't hit.
It didn't hit
like,
the Shane is my homegirl level of popularity. But that's a clever play on words.
I thought to do, but I guess my mom was the only one who bought one.
Jane picked up on it quick. Delicious. You know, now you're going to start seeing t-shirts after people hear this episode.
I'm just saying, I had a t-shirt too, Kate, that nobody bought.
I believe you. Alicia, I'd buy that. I think it's hysterical. Delicious. I think it's great. Now, Arlen.
Okay.
You have a new book out.
I do.
It's just come out called Your First Million.
That's right. Yes, it just came out.
And what made you write this follow-up book to your successful first book?
Called It's About Damn Time. Great title, by the way.
Thank you.
Like, did you sit around going, I wasn't done with everything I needed to say?
Oh, I mean, that happened the moment the first book came out. I was like, oh, there's so much more I want to say. First of all, I would love to have a career as an author, like release something every 2 to 3 years. That'd be really cool.
Do you enjoy writing?
Yeah, I do. I learned a lot on this one, though, that I don't enjoy like a time, like a deadline or like you're supposed to write on Wednesdays type of thing. It just doesn't work. So and I'm not used to being that creative in that kind of space. So, yeah, I definitely enjoy the process of sharing and teaching and like just sharing my history, my experiences. But this one, It's About Damn Time was more of a memoir. And more of like, how did I go from being homeless to starting a venture capital fund and investing millions of dollars into hundreds of companies led by us? And Your First Million is now like, this is like our call to action. And over the next 10 years, I would like to help create and catalyze 1,000 new millionaires who are representative of the country, meaning demographically. And this book is kind of like that. I don't know, that line in the sand that says, this is why I think that's a good idea. Rather than the next one billionaire, it'd be great.
I agree with you because billionaires, no one needs to be a billionaire.
Yeah, I agree. Like so I don't hate billionaires like a lot of people just hate them just off the bat. Like I work with a couple of them that I think are cool, but who needs all that money, first of all? And if I were to become a billionaire, which I believe I could, the first thing I would do is make myself not a billionaire.
Right.
Like I wouldn't
be able— By giving your money away?
Yeah. Or like—
Investing in
it. And if it were to return, I'd just reinvest it. You know, it would never be like, oh, I'm sitting on it. And that's no shade to, you know, my home people. But it just, to me, it doesn't seem right in a world that has 6, 7, or 8 billion people.
I'd be a great billionaire.
Would you?
So?
I would donate it to causes. I would start things. I would help people.
Yeah.
I would like make sure all my loved ones are taken care of. I don't need all that money. I'd be very good at giving it away to the right places. I really believe that.
Right.
I've thought about it.
Okay, good.
I really thought about when I'm a billionaire one day, I'd be really good at this.
But you just said literally 2 minutes ago, nobody needs billionaires.
You don't.
And now you're like, I sit around thinking about what I'm going
to
do when I become one.
But if I was a billionaire, when I am a billionaire, I'd be really good at it.
Well,
but I don't need to be one. And there doesn't need to be billionaires in this world. That's a lot of money.
Just you as well.
No, and Arlen. Arlen too. Arlen could be a billionaire as well.
Bam.
Leisha, my favorite part of the day is going to bed at night. So I can get into my cozy comforter with my Helix mattress. And I'm not exaggerating.
Climbing into your Helix mattress feels like everything that happened in the day falls away.
But I look forward to it. Like
yeah.
I look at the clock and I think it's 7:30. I have another hour and a half of having to be out here until I can get into bed.
Okay, Grandma.
And Helix gives you options because everybody sleeps different. You get to see which Helix mattress works best for you and your body by taking the Helix sleep quiz to find your perfect mattress in under, 2 minutes?
Yeah, they make it really quick and they get to know a lot about you right away. About how you like to sleep, how your partner likes to sleep, are you hot, are you cold, are you a side sleeper, a back sleeper? They know it all. They know more about you than your partner sleeping next to you knows about you.
And once you figure out what your personalized mattress is, it then gets shipped straight to your door, which is free of charge.
And right now, Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. So go to helixsleep.com/pants and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Ladies, we can all bond over this one. Imagine a bra that you actually want to wear. They're hard to find. We all know it. We've been through how many bra brands? Ugh. And you're like, I like this about it, but not this. Or they're just uncomfortable. Well, today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. It's real. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honey Loves bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. It's cool. It's like these little, I can't even describe it, like these little bone things. And it's like, I don't know how they do it, but it's brilliant. Plus, they've made fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. So you immediately feel and see the difference. So it's next level comfortable.
Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/pants. Now, after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please, please support our show and tell them Pants sent you. honeylove.com/pants. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I know you've talked about your start and your history a lot, but just for our listeners, in case there are people that don't know.
You mean there are people who don't know me?
I'm sure that's not the case, but just in case.
I'm 43, and until I was 35, I did not make more than $20,000 a year, and most years it was a lot less than that.
Huh. Is this, can I interrupt? I'm going to just interject here in case anyone didn't know. You were a tour manager.
Yes.
You were fascinated with music.
Yeah.
Now, are you saying that that's the amount that also came in
into
the world of being a tour manager?
I was a tour manager, but I was also a production assistant and a production coordinator and a road manager. I was everything. I was a local runner. I was everything, right? And so a tour manager for a smaller artist, production coordinator for larger artists, and, you know, went through that. But that was back, I remember, like, if I could get a gig, like being a PA on a reality show for like a week, that'd be $750, $150 a day. And I would be like, oh my God, you know how many pot pies I can buy with that? Like, right. I can really make something of this. People are dealing with this right now. Is that, okay, let's say you're on the road for 2 months or 3 months on a tour, which would be great. And maybe you, like a production coordinator, and I don't know the numbers now, but maybe I was making like $1,500 a week. But then for 9 months, I wouldn't have a gig. Mm-hmm. And you're always on the road trying to get the next gigs. It's just like acting and all
I was going to say, this sounds familiar.
Yeah,
too.
I feel
the
like
things.
This is my life.
This is our racket.
Yeah. There was one time where I was on stage, side stage with Beyonce, Jay-Z, Harry Styles, and Haim. And I was the talent wrangler for Pharrell, who brought Usher out at Coachella that year. And when I got back home, I was staying at a hostel on Hollywood. Two extremes. I mean, it was such stark differences, but I always knew that I would be okay. There was just it was sad. It was like frustrating. It was like super dark sometimes, but there was never a time where I was like, oh, I'm not going to be wealthy, or I'm not going to be successful, or I'm not going to be someone who reaches a lot of people.
You had faith. Like, you had faith, and you just had this
like
inner
belief
faith
in yourself.
Yeah.
So you had a goal in mind.
Yeah, I had. It was a belief in myself, and I also could see it. You know, it's like
mm-hmm. I know that too.
That looks like
you're just like, I'm going to be okay because I actually know that I'm going to end up here.
Yeah, you don't know how. Mm-hmm. Like the road in between, but you know, and you don't know exactly what that looks like at the end of
it. Sure,
but
you know
there's
the
going to be something like.
Yeah,
it was very, it was super, like, it took a few years after I started investing. Like, so September 15th, 2015, it was kind of like that mark for me. And it took a few years after that.
Well, wait, don't skip
realize,
over that. Because
yeah.
That's a huge, what do you mean? You just, that year you started investing, like, walk us through that.
So I had, it was like my worst year, essentially, 12-month period. I just, like, I had been, like, sharing a hotel room with my mom, who was in her 60s at the time. She was not well, like, physically. She was ill. We were sharing a hotel room. Every day we'd go down to the front desk and just kind of beg to stay there. get a few days and we would put, you know, two nickels together to make it work. We were super excited on like Tuesdays or Wednesdays. I can't remember which one, because they had free chili. And we knew we were going to eat that, you know, eat. Okay. It was just, it was pretty terrible. And and I wanted to like drive for Uber, but they wouldn't let you rent a car to do that. So I couldn't like make it work.
Right.
I applied to so many jobs I didn't get. They wouldn't hire me at Kohl's.
Kohl's?
Yeah. I applied for Airbnb to be a customer service rep for $15 an hour. And I went through three interviews. And they would not hire me. They said I was overqualified. So I was like, so then I'm qualified.
Correct.
But they wouldn't hire me. So I ended up, fast forward, I'll come back, but I ended up hiring their head of people who retired from Airbnb for Backstage Capital years later.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing. I think something we need to address that we didn't address is that, Arlen, you own a VC she's Backstage.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't kick off this episode with
description.
So, we kicked off the book.
My investments go through Backstage Capital, which is a fund that I started from scratch while I was homeless. And it was during that time staying with my mom, and I was just so depressed watching her suffer. And so I sent her back to her sister in Mississippi to sleep on the couch in her 60s. And I was like, I have to do something. I have to like accelerate whatever this is. So I got myself into a program at Stanford that was a 2-week program.
What was it? Like an intensive?
Yeah, it was like a boot camp type of thing, but it was at Stanford. Everybody was staying at like the Four Seasons or lived in town. And I would like say, hey, great. And I would get the catered lunch. And then I would get on a bus, two buses, and go back to like a really bad part of town and stay at the
same. Wow. That's a crazy story.
It was there that I met a woman named Susan Kimberlin, who is my age. And she had been successful in her career and her family. And so she was looking to invest. And I had a lot of information that she didn't have. I had been studying for years this venture capital world, this tech world. So I was able to sit with her. Like, we would sit together at lunch and just, I would teach her how to like do diligence on things. No matter how much money she had in the bank, she didn't have that bank of information.
All right.
So I say, because money attracts money, if you don't have money, you become money.
Say that one more time.
Okay. Because money attracts money. Mm-hmm. If you don't have money, mm-hmm. you become money.
How
to attract.
How
does what does that mean?
There are several ways, and the first way is information. So studied.
Value. You're talking about value.
Yes. I had studied every day, whether I was hungry, whether I had a place to live. I had studied it. I had a phone, thankfully. I had a laptop. I studied. I listened to things. So when I met Susan and I realized, oh, she has money. She wants to invest. She has passion. She's really smart. But she may not know as much as I do. I can share that information with her, provide value to her, kind of like, you know, her sidekick. And then she'll see that value. And then maybe over time, she'll decide to see what I can do with the same kind of investment money.
Brilliant. What made you interested in?
I was going to ask that.
The VC world or what, when you started this in 2012, studying this, was it?
So this is a super gay story.
We love that here on Pants.
Yes. I originally wanted to start a tech company because I had applied to all these tech companies and I wanted to start one. And I was always an entrepreneur in my heart. And it was for a dating site that I wanted that was going to be called Juliet and Juliet. Right? And I thought, well, let me study how to talk to investors. That's when I learned, I think it was 2013, that less than 10% of venture capital goes to anyone who is not a straight white male in the U.S.
Wow.
They make up 30% or so of the U.S., but they get 90% of the money.
So you were like, I see what's wrong here, and I can be part of change.
I said I could probably raise $1 million for my company because I know myself, and I know like if I put my mind to it, I could probably make that happen. But what if I did the same energy to raise $1 million for other people who are like me? What difference would that make?
Right.
And a bigger difference.
And change the generational wealth.
Exactly. It would change the dynamic. It could change everything.
Your company. Like, will you just tell people what it is?
So Backstage Capital is an investment fund. It's a venture capital fund. I raise money from other people who are high net worth individuals or corporations. I, with a team, select companies to invest in. We have invested in more than 200 companies. Like, we invest about 30 companies a year, which is usually what people's entire portfolio is.
Oh, so that's a lot of people.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
But I was, when I started, there was no fund that was specifically to invest in women across the board, people of color, and LGBTQ plus
firms. So important.
It's so important. And it's crazy that there aren't more firms like yours that are doing that.
There are today dozens.
So you've inspired.
So did you kick off the revolution?
Yes, I can say that I have. Bam!
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Is crypto perfect? Nope. But neither was email when it was invented in 1972. And yet today, we send 347 billion emails every single day. Crypto is no different. It's new, but like email, it's also revolutionary. With Kraken, it's easy to start your crypto journey with 24/7 support when you need it. Go to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures Inc. PVI DBA Kraken. Visit PVI's disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
So it is the new year. We're all going, you know, we love to start the year with like how we're going to change as people, ideas of it. So do you have a couple of like steps, just like broad strokes that you, how someone can start believing in themselves in those kind of ways?
Well, speak to just maybe why I don't have imposter syndrome. I've had it before, so I understand it and I understand that it's there. But I've also kind of gone from like not knowing if I'm going to have a meal in a day to being in rooms where everyone is at least a millionaire and higher. And what I found was, although there are a lot of nice people in that bracket, no one, I have still to this day, and again, no shade, I have still found no one, or let's say straight white male billionaire, millionaire, who is smarter than a black woman, the smartest black woman I know. We have imposter syndrome because a lot of times we're like, oh, I don't think I'm ready for this position, or like if you're in a job, I'm not ready to do this job, or I was given the responsibility that I don't think I am ready for. Barack Obama was never president before he was president, but he had to step into that. No one is exactly perfect for their role. No one really has it figured out. Like, have you met anyone who has, like, it totally figured out?
No. Are you talking about, like, fake it till you make it kind of?
Yes, but also not even fake it till you make it, because that's kind of like putting up a facade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying just, like, realize we're all human. We're all in this together. We're all equal. There's no one better than you. There's no one lower than you. And the fact that you're even attempting something, the fact that you're even stepping into the arena is the thing. And you cannot step into greatness. You cannot be great unless you step forward towards it. So, yeah, right? I mean, you know, there's certain things I won't do. Like, I'm not going to go and try to sing the national anthem. Wouldn't be good for any of us. But there are a lot of things that I will attempt if I find passion in it, if I think that it's, you know, putting positivity to the world, and if I think I have a good shot at figuring it out. And if I'm not hurting anyone along the way. I meet so many people, and it's mostly women who are like this, and it's mostly people of color who are like this. they diminish themselves in the, like, before you even get to hear the second sentence, they're like, oh, I'm just a. Mm-hmm. How many times have I heard, oh, I'm just a teacher? Somebody walks up to me and they want a picture or they want to talk to me and they're like, oh, I'm just a teacher, so you probably don't remember me or something. Like, are you kidding me?
Right. Like, why do we do that?
Why do we do that to ourselves when the world is going to put up roadblocks for us? So we have to be our biggest champions. And so I don't believe that I'm extra special. I just believe we're all better than we think we are.
Well, it is also about building each other up, especially in the community of women. I mean, if we're all doing that, we need to help each other.
Yeah, I call it loosening the pickle jar for someone else.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
I mean, I'm from South.
I ask people to do that all the time.
Yes.
It's a level of the way I interpret it is this level of confidence, and it's not bravado, it's just confidence. And I too suffer from extreme bouts of imposter syndrome. I challenge any actor out there, unless maybe you're Meryl Streep, who doesn't have that.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
I'm not trying to talk you out of how you feel at all. I'm just saying, I think a lot of people listening would just be so surprised to hear you say, like, even you all have imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And there's like so crazy. Many actors today who became actors because they saw one of your episodes or a season.
Well, that's great. See, it's, like, we're helping people, okay?
Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay. So you don't necessarily have to walk around on cloud nine and you're just so, you know, better than everybody.
No, it's not walking around on cloud nine. It's just a level of self-possession that I think is really rare. And it clearly comes from a very genuine place in you. And I think that's admirable because you don't see that in people often.
Well, I also think it's like one of the themes in your book is like people never fail because they don't even bother trying in the first place.
Yes.
And it's like, it is about just like getting yourself, like maybe not believing you belong on that television show because there are so many other actors that are better than you, but it's like, just walk in that door.
Just start there. Just
walk
in. I think about, I know this is kind of random, but I think about the guy who plays Daryl on Walking Dead. And I think he had like a really bad audition apparently for The Walking Dead. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Norman Reedus. And apparently he had a really bad audition, but the way he auditioned made them create this other character. And now he's like, you know, carrying the show.
You watched The Walking Dead? Did you see Madison Clark probably let you in the front door?
She was in the back room.
She was in the back room.
What's that now?
Her girlfriend.
Oh!
But how do you interpret this? Like, because you're in the business world.
Yeah.
Right? We could talk about acting all day.
Sure.
But like, how does someone who might want a position or, I don't know, like maybe to start their own business, like how do they find, like, especially financially?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like,
especially
everyone, no matter what your occupation is, like women who are watching, non-binary people, all of people who are listening to this, there has been somebody in your life that you've worked for or with who you're like, how did this idiot get this job? Like, how are they higher than I am?
Oh, sure.
Right? That's all you have to think about is that they had the audacity to walk into the room and get that paycheck.
So why can't you?
So why wouldn't you?
Right.
Like, really, like, you know, so starting a company, I think, is it's one of the ways that, you know, the millionaires will be made, which I think is important. And it's about ownership and control and influence and collectively, to your point, not just for yourself, to your point, Leisha, not to yourself, just for yourself, but for as a group. And I think that's the most exciting part of it is like the collective part of it. But
well, what you just said kind of triggered me because we talked about this a lot a couple of years ago. Just looking around sometimes and seeing people in certain positions.
Oh.
And you didn't understand why they were there, how they got there.
Yeah.
And it really actually empowered me to put myself in positions that I would have never thought I could get in until I saw the example of someone else was in it that shouldn't. I was like, wait, no. If they can do that.
Sure.
Why am I telling myself I can never do it? I'm over here like wasting so much time. Like, no, you didn't go to school for this. You didn't, you know, study that. You didn't, but like, I'm highly interested in this thing, but like, oh, I must have to, you know, work 20 years towards it. And then I see, you know, someone just walk through that door like, oh no, I belong here. And I was like, huh?
But
it helped me. Like, I think what you're saying is if you, in your mind, sort of level the playing field, Yeah. Like, no one's above me, no one's below me. We're all the same, like, right?
Another part of, I mean, to that point, we do not have, and I say we in this case, I mean LGBTQ plus people, women, other. We do not have the luxury of time for imposter syndrome because we have so much time to make up for. And there are so many things sort of acting against us in a world where we have to fight in such ways for rights for our own bodies. And like we just, it's I'm not discounting it and I'm not saying that you're not merited in feeling a certain way, but truly we don't have time for it.
You're right.
I was standing behind two couples in line at the airport a few days ago. We were in first class, and a lot of times when I go to first class, somebody will let me know this is first class in case I didn't know. And I'll say, yeah, I remember when I paid for it. And they were that kind of vibe. Mm. And they were just trying to outdo, they didn't know each other, trying to outdo each other, talking about what kind of neighborhoods they lived in Dallas. And they were then both comparing their farmland that they had both inherited from their families. And I actually had such a dual reaction at the same, you know, at the same time, which was, I was really bummed out that so many of my, like so many of my peers who are Black don't get to have that story. Not that every white person has a farm, don't get me wrong, but we don't get to have that story because we had a different history here. But at the same time, I was like, you know, 8 years later, I was like, girl, to myself, I was like, girl, you used to sleep on the floor of the San Francisco airport and you've invested in 200 companies. And you did that in a country that was built like this, mm-hmm. where you have to still to this day convince somebody you're supposed to be in first class. That those two guys, I do not envy them on any day, the worst day of my life. I do not envy them because that's their peak. Their right, peak is comparing peak. The size of their farmland in the jetway, getting on a flight. And
it's almost like you have to pity them at that point.
I really, yeah. I actually did.
Because they're provies. They're the provies.
The what?
The provies. We always call people like that provies.
They had to prove yourself?
Yeah, yeah, just like proving. Like, oh, let me prove mm-hmm, I have this. And the mm-hmm. other one's like, well, I'm going to prove I have that. And they just outprove each other.
Yeah.
It's the case of the provies.
So that's another way to kind of think about stuff. Like, think about what you have accomplished with what you have. That's how I look at companies when I think about investing in them. What have they done so far with the resources they have in comparison?
That's a really great way to look at it. And to be reminded of where you came from and what you started with. Like pants. Look where pants started in 2020. Look where we are now.
Yes.
Look at us.
Here we are. I'm dead serious.
No, I know.
I'm
very,
very serious.
I know. You're very good at reminding us.
I have to sometimes because we both get down in the dumps.
I know.
It's my turn to always remind you and say, look where we are. Who knew in 2020?
I bring you up too.
Of course you do. You brought me up about an hour ago.
I did.
I had such a rough day.
You're right.
But I'm saying to you, in 2020, when we started this, little riffraff.
Right.
We had no idea. We'd be sitting here with Arlen.
Well, I think it's
having a podcast 4 years later.
Yeah. No, it is cool.
No, I'm serious.
When somebody's concentrating or can only concentrate on living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, there we go.
What kind of advice do you give that person to start that passion project they have? How do you get away from just worry to, Do you put a little aside every mm-hmm. month? What's that breaking
yeah.
point?
Yeah. So, but remember, I used to make so little money that mm-hmm. when people were talking about income streams, I didn't even have one. So, like, I know what that feels like. I say have your current gig, like your job, be your springboard, be your first investor, even in a way, not literally, but a lot of people were like quit their jobs so they can go start a company and then they get so upset that they're not making any money off the company and then they're like even worse than they were because they don't want to work for someone else. I say play the long game a little bit like strategically and say within 2 or 3 years, can you work at this gig? And over time, as your side hustle, make enough profit that you slowly start to
day job.
Exactly. Outdo.
That's like pants. That's very like
good.
Pants.
Okay, yeah. And great. So it's like you kind of pretend to yourself that your job is your investor. So you're like, you get your paycheck, you're like, thanks. You know, like this 10% or 20% is for
this
company.
Keeping you afloat in order to do what you're calling the side hustle, your passion project.
Yeah. And hey, insurance.
I just want to hang out with Arlo.
I know. I just
want
to hang out with you.
I just want to hang out with you. I think you're great.
Can we get that? Can we cut my team cut that and just have that as my ringtone?
No, truly.
Well, you're amazing and you are helping people.
Yeah,
and
you are.
If you want to know more about Arlen, you've got two books out.
I do.
So
it's a real honor to know you. And
yeah, it really is.
You've taken the time with us today, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been wanting to have you on.
And it's incredible and surreal. So thank you.
Well, back at you.
All right, I'm sure we'll see you soon for dinner or something.
Yeah, let's have dinner off the mics. We're gonna have dinner. No pants talk.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by myself, Kate Menig, and Alicia Haley. Produced and edited by Arwin Nix. Mixed by Valentino Rivera. Please listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Theme song by Carolina Para of the band CSS, and graphics are by Love Fox.